what you call like an item.
I'll call the May 7th Plan Commission meeting to order. And once the city planner gets to his spot, Mr. Fuchs, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson?
Here.
Commissioner Hogan?
Here.
Commissioner Finnis?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Here.
Commissioner Morrow?
Here.
Alderwoman Mayor?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler?
Here. We have a quorum. Please rise and join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all and good evening. Just a reminder, please turn your cell phones to vibrate or off or not obnoxious. Okay, item A, roll call. We do have a quorum. Item B, in your package, you received minutes from the regular meeting of April 23rd. Any additions or corrections?
Move approval.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item C, this is public hearings. Item C1, Kayla's Playground at Franklin Woods Nature Center Special Park. Natural Resources Special Exception and Site Plan Amendment applications by the City of Franklin to allow for the installation of a new playground equipment, a port-in-place playground surface, restrooms facilities, a parking lot expansion for Kayla's Playground at Franklin Woods Nature Special Park for the property that's zoned P1 Park District located at 3723 West Putes Road. Got a tax key number 854-9936-000. This is a public hearing for natural resources special exception. Any person wishing to speak on this matter must give testimony and be sworn in as for their testimony. Mr. Deedle, would you give the opening?
Or it could be the public hearing notice.
Oh, that's right. Let's do that. Yes, Mr. Fuchs.
Notice hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, May 7th, 2015 at 7 p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding an application from the City of Franklin for a special exception to natural resource features provision for property located at 3723 West Peace Road, Zone P1 Park District. There is tax key number 854-9936-000. The requested special exception to natural resource feature provisions is for the purpose of allowing approximately 7,500 square feet of wetland buffer grading and paving, 5,500 square feet of grading and paving of the wetland setback, and 11,700 square feet of shore buffer grading and paving associated with the site plan amendment for Kayla's Playground to allow for the installation of new playground equipment, port-in-place playground surface, and parking lot expansion for Taylor Playground at Franklin Woods Nature Center Special Park.
All right, now, Mr. Deagle. And Plan Commission members, at your place, there's some revised information regarding the plan. Mr. Deagle.
Thank you, sir. Is the public hearing notice mentioned? There were a number of resources being impacted. Shore buffer was one of them.
Thank you.
So this map shows the existing parking lot. If you follow the hand symbol, the existing parking lot is immediately south Putes Road. You enter into the park from that location. This driveway here would be a proposed addition to go to a new additional parking lot, and then the traffic would flow that way in through the new, in through the existing, out through the new.
Actually, the other way.
The other way around?
This way around.
Two additional parking spaces would be located here. The existing playground is right here. The existing trail is right here and then goes off the map. this way, the existing trail goes along here, and then it'd be relocated to what's shown on this map. It's approximately here, but not quite the same. Until it gets to about this point, then this is where the existing trail still is, and the proposed trail would remain as it continues off this map. Again, the playground would be located here. There's another segment of the trail that swings to the south of that existing playground, hooks in right about over here. Then everything down here is a grassy mowed field. This is where the existing pavilion is, and then more grassy field to the south of that. So that's what's out there now. There is a navigable waterway identified by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. This is the approximate limits of the ordinary high water mark. So regulatorily, that's where you would measure setbacks and buffers from, both for DNR purposes, for wetland protection, as well as our city regulations for wetland protection and an additional 75-foot buffer from that ordinary high water mark. That's this distance here. That 75-foot distance would be here. So the city, just the city, regulates that swath of land. The DNR only regulates any wetlands that would be within or touching that ordinary high water mark. The existing wetland on the inside of that trail is right here, the edge of the colored areas. So from this area to the right or to the east, that's the existing wetland. There's an additional wetland up here as well. The dark line within the red areas would be the wetland boundaries. So there's two small wetlands over here, an additional small wetland over there. The red areas would be the cities. So the DNR regulates those wetlands, as does the city. The city also regulates this 30-foot red area, which is a buffer around the wetland. Roughly speaking, generally speaking, that area by city regulation only is a no-touch. This additional blue area is an additional 20-foot wetland setback on top of the 30-foot buffer. Again, only a city regulation, and that is no permanent disturbance. Temporary disturbance in this blue area is allowed by our regulations. So again, there's a wetland there. This blue area will be impacted by the construction of this new parking lot. The parking lot would be just outside, but the area adjacent to it, approximately 100 square feet, would be disturbed during construction. But that's a permitted activity within the blue. Temporary disturbances in the blue areas are allowed. This area is also wooded, and I'll show that in a later map. That is not part of the natural resource special exception, but it will be a resource that is impacted. This red area, outlined in red, but not colored red, that is the wetland buffer that will be impacted during the construction of the playground. This blue area, outlined in blue, but not shaded in blue, would be the area of wetland setback impacted by the playground. Going back again to this shore buffer, this area here, between the red line, which is that 75-foot shore buffer, and the ordinary high water mark, is also wetland here, wetland buffer here, which is that city regulation, a no touch, and then wetland setback here, the 20-foot, which is can be temporarily disturbed. That area is also part of the shore buffer. Whenever features overlap one another, it's whatever is most restrictively protected is the one that counts. You don't count things twice, you count things once. So whichever has the greater level of protection, the greater stricter protection, that's the only thing that counts. In this instance, the shore buffer protects everything more strictly, so we only count this area as shore buffer. We don't count it as wetland buffer or a wetland setback. This darker blue area is part of the shore buffer that's outside the wetland buffer and wetland setback. And so that does count also a shore buffer, is outside the wetland. There's a little piece right here of wetland setback that extends outside the shore buffer, so that's counted separately. And then again, when you get back to the solid colors down here, those resources are not being impacted. So again, the areas in white outlined in red or blue are impacted, and it's a part of this natural resource special exception. The areas shaded in red or blue are areas that are either not impacted at all or are temporarily impacted in those instances where it's allowed. So as the public hearing notice stated, there was approximately 11,700 square feet of shore buffer to be impacted. That was our best guesstimate before the DNR was out there. After the DNR was out there, identified this ordinary high water mark, located that, gave that information to us, we put it in GIS, made this map. Now it's only 9,500 square feet approximately of shore buffer being impacted. In regards to the wetland buffers, these red areas, which is just this area here, because this area here is not double counted, it's only counting towards the shore buffer. So this area over here, the public hearing notice anticipated 7,500 square feet of wetland buffer impact. Now it's only approximately 2,100 square feet. And then lastly, this wetland setback, these blue areas, which is this area, a little bit of that 100 square feet up that corner, and this little piece over here, was in the public hearing notice 5,500 square feet. Now it's 4,300 square feet. So from a numbers standpoint, that's what's being impacted. Again, going back to the bigger picture, what's also shown on here is the proposed playground. So these areas here and here, here and here are all part of the playground. This is going to be an entrance into the playground. I should step back and mention these areas here, here, and here are the playground made out of porous pavement. The water can percolate through. This walkway will not be that. It will be more traditional, typical concrete or asphalt. This area will be outside the playground. It will also be made of a porous paving material. But for purposes of disturbance of these setbacks and buffers, that counts as disturbance and it's part of the natural resource special exception. The existing pavilion here is going to remain there. We're proposing a restroom building over here, and we'll have a little fountain on the outside for dogs as well. And then landscaping, native landscaping, designed to be compatible with the adjacent wetland, as well as habitat or plants for butterflies, will be designed by a professional, probably from Johnson Nursery. And that's in these other outlined areas immediately outside the playground. So the playground limits are here, and then from here to there, that's where the landscaping will be. So most of that wetland setback, most of that's this, most of the wetland buffer will be still in vegetation. It will be disturbed during construction. There will be plants put in there. But right now, that area has historically been disturbed. It's a lawn. It's mowed on a regular basis, and it's been that way for decades. And then there's a little bit of landscaping wrapping around in the south end. Approximately 400 feet south of this is about where the existing houses are. 300 feet south. 400 feet from this parking lot is about where the nearest existing house is. So roughly that's the technical details, a little bit of background and summary if I could. The concept of this kind of a playground has been talked about by the Common Council since at least July of last year. The city had originally envisioned this at a different location, the proposed church, Victory of the Lamb. The January of this year, when more detailed information for that project and this playground at that church became available, it was discovered that it would be expensive and very complicated to put that playground at that location. It would require creating a land division so that we could have part of that private property as a public park. We would require some of that land for public access to the public park through private property. It would be surrounded on three sides by private property. The private parking lot for the church would probably encroach within the public right-of-ways for the road and our parking and the playground. So ultimately, it was determined between that complexity and those costs, the Common Council decided to look at other locations. Staff prepared a list of over 20, almost 30 different sites within the city of Franklin, primarily existing city parks, trying to find other locations for this playground. And this information is important because one of the things the Natural Resource Special Exception has to do is look at alternatives. So the staff provided almost 30 different sites for a possible playground, provided detailed information, and those 30 sites did include this one. We provided detailed information on six of those sites, the ones that the city staff thought would be most accommodating, did not include this site. Common Council reviewed those six sites, narrowed it down initially to three of those sites, ultimately decided on none of them. The Common Council ultimately decided on this site. So a thorough, in-depth review, not only by staff, but by the council, ultimately resulted in this location. Then on this particular site, and just the way it shows there today, staff had gone through many iterations to try to address some of the concerns that were raised by neighbors, as well as try to minimize the impact on these buffers and setbacks. Some of these maps, I'm not going to show all of them unless the discussion goes that way, but I'll touch on a couple of them, or maybe the first one. So this map shows one of the very first versions of the layout for this playground at Franklin Woods. A larger rectangle instead of smaller. So not only was this area larger, more pervious paving, but covering a larger extent of wetland setback and buffer, extending further south, closer to the homes to the south. And it included additional facilities like a splash pad. There was also talk about putting some kind of exercise stations along the existing trails. There is also a motion from the Parks Commission to pave the trail in the woods. That part, we ran out of time. We didn't get enough time to get the regulatory agencies out there to map those wetlands. So we'll pursue that at a later date as a separate effort, as long as the Common Council still wishes us to do so. But that is a motion from the Parks Commission. The Parks Commission reviewed this. This was at their April 13th meeting. They did recommend approval of the site plan, which is related to but separate from what we're having this public hearing about. The site plan is the layout of the park, of the playground. Tonight's public hearing is the impact of that on natural resources. But again, the Parks Commission did recommend approval of this site plan. That is also before the planning
gentlemen,
commission.
Gentlemen, excuse me. Gentlemen, could we have one conversation, please? Thank you.
So you can tell that a number of changes were made in response to both the Parks Commission and some of the neighbors' concerns. And that's what we've ended up with here today on this map over here. The playground is smaller. The playground does not extend as far south. It has less impact on the buffers, particularly on this eastern wetland and its buffers. And some of those extra facilities, like the splash pad and exercise stations, were removed. Again, going back to what kind of playground this is. There already is an existing playground there, much smaller. Again, in this photograph, this white area is the extent of the existing playground, you know, located between the two segments of the existing trail. This playground is proposed over here to not go, to almost go as far south as the pavilion, to be a little bit wider on this side. So much larger than the existing playground. The proposed playground will contain different types of equipment and more equipment. Playground equipment is specifically designed for children with handicaps. Not for adults, but for children with handicaps. That's what this playground would be primarily for, this proposed playground. The existing playground is a typical playground. We're proposing to remove that existing playground, store that equipment, and use it at future park sites. We're not just going to throw it away. That playground is proposed not only for children with disabilities, It's proposed and was always envisioned way back at that first location at the church property, Victory of the Lamb, to be in a quiet location. That the, many of the children that will use this won't function well in areas with large amounts of disturbance. I can, in passing, mention one of the sites that staff had selected for this playground was Lions Legend Park right across the street from here, and it was determined that the noise from the fire trucks would be too disruptive and potentially hurtful to some of those children. So the organizers of this idea, that the citizens trying to raise funds for this playground, are particularly looking for a quiet park. They want it to be a quiet park for this playground and believe that this playground will be compatible with that. So that's reflected again in why this location was chosen. Because we hope that this will be a successful park and a successful playground, we're proposing some additional parking. The children that use this would greatly benefit from the from having restrooms nearby, so that's why the restrooms are proposed. This is a city project. This is a city park. But there will be a contribution from these citizens with the fundraising they've already collected, if I believe it's approximately $200,000. So again, that's the type of playground. And the other thing I wanted to mention is not only did they want a quiet park, they wanted a quiet park with some natural resources. Not only to provide physical activity for these children, but more passive activities for these children. There's a paved trail around that wetland, and that would also be something that would fit well with providing opportunities for these children to get out and play on that paved trail. And that's probably one of the reasons why the Parks Commission was interested in paving the trail inside the woods. So that's the reasoning behind the type of playground, this type of location in general, the Common Council decision for this site, this park in particular. And then the last thing I could mention, directly related to this natural resource special exception, is whenever an impact on natural resources of this nature are proposed, city ordinances require some form of mitigation, some kind of restoration or enhancement or recreation of whatever natural resources are going to be impacted. That's required by city ordinance. Remembering, we're not impacting anything regulated by the DNR. There's no wetlands being impacted here. The stream itself is not being impacted here. The setbacks and buffers that the city regulates are being impacted. So those are all mowed lawn right now. So what staff is proposing is that 1.5 times that amount of impact. So it's approximately 24,000 square feet that staff is proposing will be mitigation consisting of the removal of buckthorn and other invasive species within the park adjacent to these wetlands and woodlands adjacent to this playground. Approximately 24,000 square feet, at least once for 3 years, staff, volunteers would go out there and remove that invasive species. In addition, the landscaping that's proposed adjacent to and around that playground will be native. It will be replacing the lawn, which will be a benefit to the natural resources as well. So truly, the wetlands, setbacks, and buffers will be smaller, but the buffers that remain will be better than they are today. And then we will also be trying to, as part of the site plan, not directly related to this natural resource special exception, we are proposing to replace the trees on the south end of the park that were removed. They were knocked down because of the emerald ash borer. I believe they were green ash trees. Those trees were removed, and we are proposing, staff is proposing, to replace those trees. It's not directly related to the natural resource special exception, but it is an environmental feature. And then lastly, related, again, not directly related to the natural resource special exception, but another environmental feature, that pervious paving for the playground and the pavers to the west of the playground where people can sit and watch their children, that will allow more water to infiltrate into the ground, which will generally be beneficial. So that's the project in a nutshell. And again, to clarify, this public hearing is just for the natural resource special exception, just for the impacts on those wetland setbacks and buffers. but having some knowledge and understanding of the bigger picture always helps in understanding this proposal. And last thing is staff. Of course, this is a city-sponsored project. This is staff's proposal, incorporating input from the Environmental Commission, the Park Commission, and neighbors. But at this point in time, it's only staff's recommendation, and staff is recommending approval.
The Environmental Commission did take this matter up?
Yes, and their recommendation was for approval as long as the impacts did not exceed the amount that was in that public hearing notice. And as I mentioned at the beginning, each one of those was significantly less. Are significantly less.
What was in the public notice, what the Environmental Commission approved, is now less impacted.
Much less, yes.
Got it?
Yes.
Okay, this is a public hearing on the natural resources special exception for Taylor's Playground at Franklin Woods. Anyone wishing to speak on the matter, please come forward, give us your name and address, and be sworn in. Anyone wishing to speak? Name and address, and take
a Leroy Lewandowski, 8030 West, Winston Way.
Mr. City Attorney.
Mr. Lewandowski, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do, if you people tell the truth.
Mr. Lewandowski.
No problem on this end.
I look at this program, and it's really disgusting because it started out at Loomis Road, where I was against it there several times. We got $35,000 tied into that facility, and it looks like we're going to be stuck with that money. I also object to putting the paved trails through these woods, because in the past, the engineering department put a trail to the bandshell. The man that was responsible for those trails was putting the trail over the roots of some of the finest trees in that area. I had to go see Bennett to stop the process. Engineering is a disaster in here sometimes when they do these things, and nobody seems to be managing them. And another issue is the fact that we just developed this Pleasant View Park, and if you look at it, they got a turnaround or something like that, whatever you call that thing, but they have a parking lot. At the end of the parking lot, there's no way for you can turn around, because if you go down there and you can't find a spot, you have to back the car all the way up to get out of there if it's all taken up. Also, I had been dealing with Mr. Ron Romeis in regards to grates. He's putting in the wrong grates. You need grates in there where the bicycle wheels don't stick in there. Besides that, I object to using the wetlands, destroying this natural center, and I can't understand why we have to put it in this park. If these other locations are detrimental to these handicapped children, then we're building the parks in the wrong place, all our parks that were thought about, because those are then too noisy, too, for the regular children. I am trying to read some of my notes here, but every time I look at this thing, it's always changed. You know, he just reported that the change, again, is a little bit smaller. We don't have anything concrete. It just keeps like a bubble that keeps moving around. And what we should do is try to stop this thing. I'm against it completely. We don't need this. It's a regional park, and it shouldn't be in Franklin. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lewandowski. Anyone else wish to speak? Ma'am, please come forward, give us your name and address, and be sworn.
Sue Lance, 3721 West Glenwood.
All right, hold on 1 second. Ms. Lance, Mr. City Attorney. You didn't hold it. Just hold it. There you go. Thank you.
I'm not
Ma'am, 1 second.
Raise your hand, please. Ms. Lance, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you, Ms. Lance.
I'm not so against the park itself. I think once it's done, it will be nice. But I guess I was first heard about it 2 weeks ago when there was a meeting over in the park. I didn't know anything about it. And it just seems though some of it might be a little bit excessive. And I swear that at that meeting, somebody said this park was only going to cost $400,000. And I read in the paper a week ago it's going to cost $1.2 million. Well, somebody's got to pay for it, you know, if our taxes are going up. And it just seems like an awful lot of money. What can cost $1.2 million to build a park? And they also mentioned there was going to be a women's bathroom, a men's bathroom, and then two family bathrooms. Well, if this isn't going to be that big of a park and they're not expecting that many people, why are we putting in so many bathrooms? Why do we need all that? I mean, it just seems like an awful lot. And then I just quite don't understand. I don't understand buffers and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not really sure from the picture how far in the side on the right where the wetlands is today. And I'm in this park every single day of the year. I'm in this park with my dog. So I can't really tell from here how much it's going to take away. And you talked about this porous area next to the playground. I don't know what that is for. What is that? I mean, there's a shelter. I don't understand why you would have to take up that for porous area versus green space.
Let's have Mr. Deal answer your porous question. And you want to do the bathroom one too?
And I could even do the wetland.
Okay.
When you're out at the property where the ground slopes down, where the flat grassy area is, and then there's like a half a foot drop.
Are we talking over here? Can I go over there?
Sure.
Okay.
It's right here.
So this is what the path?
Yep.
Okay. And is this where it goes to today?
Nope. The path, if you follow the hand,
ma'am,
path.
Look at this map. Might be a little bit better for you.
Yep.
This is existing.
Okay.
So there's your trail.
Uh-huh.
Here's the edge of the top edge of the wetland.
Yep.
And this is the slope.
And that's inside this area. Okay.
All of this is wetland, and that's approximately where that navigable, that darker area here is approximately where that navigable waterway is.
Okay.
I'll do that for you. It's here.
So is this what you're going to take out?
Nope. Only starting here. Starting right there.
Right there. Okay.
Yep. So outside the trees, outside the bushes,
okay.
When the ground starts to slope up, that's where we're going to start to impact.
All right. Okay, and then this is your porous area.
Yep. So did we bring a sample of that material?
Actually, ma'am, the whole area is porous except
the playground.
For...
yes.
Yeah, except for the sidewalk there, this sidewalk, the restroom, of course, and the paving for the new parking lot driveway.
Yep.
So this area here is porous. This area here... sorry, I had a cup of coffee today. That area there is all porous, as is the. These are pavers. This is porous pavement. Mr. City Engineer.
But why do you have to have that, pavers? Why do you have to have that when you have a shelter right there? Why can't you have a green space?
Well, there has to be some kind of surface for the playground, and... because many of these children will be handicapped and in wheelchairs, you need something flat that they can move their wheelchairs on. So one option, old-fashioned option, would be having asphalt or concrete. But now that engineers and companies are coming out with new materials that have a little bit of bounce and give in them and have really small holes in it so the water can percolate through. So one is this material now will be a little bit softer, So if somebody fell down, it wouldn't be quite so bad. It's nice, flat, and firm so they can roll their wheelchairs across it. And it'll have small little holes in it, really small holes, that the water can soak through instead of rushing off, picking up, you know, whatever gets spilled and rushing all into the wetland. It'll percolate through this material, through gravel, and then out through some drain tiles into the wetland.
Okay, but it is less than... what is initially that playground was going all the way to the shelter.
Smaller than the original idea of the playground, but it's still bigger than the existing playground.
Well, yeah, I understand that. Like I said, I think when it's done, it'll be nice, but I think some of the pieces in it are a little excessive that I just don't, if you're not, if it's a small park and you're not expecting that many people, why are these, what can cost $1.2 million for a playground?
I'll handle that.
I just don't get that.
Well, I understand, ma'am. It's a fair question, and we deserve, you deserve an answer from us. I don't have the budget with me, but the restrooms, which, by the way, it's one set of restrooms, but it, because we're accommodating less able people, we need the family restrooms so that there's room for wheelchairs and people to get turned around and help with.
But why couldn't you just have a family restroom? Why do you have to have these separate restrooms?
They're all in one box.
I know, but how many people, if there aren't, that one person would only be going in there at a time anyway, unless you're a disabled person. Why do you have to have extra restrooms?
Well, if that's a big issue, we can consider that.
I'm just saying, that has to cost a lot. That's probably a very big expense to put in all these extra restrooms.
It's what, $235,000 for all of them. The budget, overall budget, as I recall, is $1.26, $200,000 a minimum, Shelley, a minimum of $200,000 being donated by the Kayla's crew folks.
Okay.
I didn't have it. This is still correct. Thank you, Leroy. I'll give it back. Leroy handed me the payment part of it. The net of this is impact fees will pay, depending on the option we choose, $366,000, not taxpayer money, that's impact fee money, that's paid for by those people who built houses and businesses for this specific purpose. There will be approximately $71,000 income to pay for the pavers from Metropolitan Milwaukee Sewerage District because it's pervious surface. And in currently budgeted funds, approximately $600,000 will pay the balance. No, I have to say this carefully because it's taxpayer money, but it's currently budgeted for this purpose, and you've already paid for it. So the equipment, the actual playground equipment will be about $285,000. The reason it's that expensive, in quotation marks, it's more expensive than normal playground. The reason it's that expensive is because we're accommodating less able people, kids in wheelchairs, kids on crutches. So in order to get on a slide, we can't have them walk up ladders. They've got to come up ramps at proper angles, and we're giving them all of this activity. Also, there's some specialized pieces of equipment here that cost a lot of money, and one of them is the Liberty Swing, and I wish I brought pictures. The Liberty Swing, that's right. The Liberty Swing allows a child or an adult in a wheelchair to swing like a normal person, like a regularly abled person could swing in a swing. It's an experience that they're not afforded that now we'll be able to afford to have. There'll be an accessible merry-go-round? It's close. So that a child on a wheelchair, in a wheelchair, or a child that doesn't walk as well as the rest of us, can participate and go on the merry-go-round with their friends. There'll be a really neat swing here that allows a child to face their parent on the same swing so that the two of them can interact. It's, as you can tell, I'm a strong supporter of this, and I make no bones about that. I'm very proud of this facility, and we need to work through the details on this, but it's well worth the money, and it's tremendous. But this is a public hearing. Did I get to all your questions?
Well, I just still don't know why it would cost so much money. And there will be room, I would ask, you know, you talk about all for the disabled. There will be playground for the kids that
it's
are
all
there
the same.
Now today.
They all play together. They all play together.
Okay. Mr. Mayor?
Yes, I'm sorry. Commissioner?
I mean, it's a regular swing set for a regular kid.
Hold that, Mr. Fowler. It's a public hearing, so let's get to the public. And I've taken up too much of your time. Anyone else wishing to speak on this?
I was going to speak to the poorest papers.
I'm going to get to you on the poorest papers. Believe me. Ma'am, please come forward. Give us your name and address.
Hi, Donna Crane, 4021 West Glenwood Drive.
Hold 1 second, Ms. Crane. Mr. City Attorney.
Would you please raise your right hand? Ms. Crane, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Right.
Thank you, ma'am.
I guess my concern is that there was no task force. I'm concerned about the environment, understanding that today's public hearing has to do with the environment. I'm overwhelmed with the thought that it's so elaborate for this little piece of green space. That seems so absurd. I heard that there's 20 different sites that you looked at. I looked at some of the sites myself, and I have nothing against this. I think it's a wonderful project. But so many things come to mind. I've heard a number, Channel 4 has interviewed a couple of communities that have kept their costs. It's an all-inclusive for disabled kids under $100,000. It's not this elaborate. If you want to take something this elaborate, take it to a bigger piece where it doesn't impact the environment. And, you know, I, like you, I'm all for it. I think it's great. I have a disabled daughter myself. So I think those of us who are sensitive to the disabled, we want something like this. And it's fine in Franklin, but why this little space in this huge, elaborate playground? Doesn't make sense. Is it too late to have a task force? Look at Ken Wendell or Froming Park. They're all so much more appropriate.
We looked at 20 different sites. The Common Council settled on this one. After significant
debate. Which is unfortunate debate. Because, again, it's just a little piece of land with this huge playground. So I just want to go on record that I don't think a lot of common sense went into it.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else wishing to speak?
Robert Fredrickson, 3800 West Maple Crest Drive.
Hold on 1 second, Mr. Fredrickson.
Please raise the right hand. Mr. Fredrickson, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you, Mr. Fredrickson.
I object to this whole process that we're using this piece of land for this particular playground. I lived in Franklin here since 1968, and I was a neighbor of Jan Cook, who originally set up Save Our Woods. The whole content and concept of that program was that this woods would be a nature preserve, not a playground. I don't know how the hell we ever got the playground in there that we have now. I don't see where we can pave through the park. That is not a nature preserve to me. I know money came from the state, and I believe it came from the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Fund. And I'm sure that it was not gotten with the idea that someday this is going to be a big playground. So that's why I object to this whole program. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fredrickson. Once again, the only trees that are being impacted on this are trees. Come on. There we go. That are right here in this driveway. And those and a couple others in here. No trees in the wetland, in the woodlands area are being impacted.
Sir,
yes, sir.
Continue. That whole piece of land from 35th Street all the way down to 43rd, 44th Street, whatever that western boundary is, was purchased as a nature preserve. And if you go back and look at it way back when, it didn't even have that wetland there. The wetland was there, but they came and they graded the whole thing out and made it a retention pond for the 100-year flood that we have.
Right, every other year. Yes, I got it. Thank you, Mr. Fredrickson. Anyone else wishing to speak? Before we go farther, I believe Ms. Runty has samples. Do you? Come on forward, Ms. Runty. This is a public hearing, so I am going to ask that you be sworn.
Name and address, please.
Michelle Runty, 8235 West Coventry Drive.
Raise your right hand. promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir, I do.
Unfortunately, we can't do the camera because Glenn's not been trained. But if you want to go ahead. What Ms. Runty has is the surface that's going to be poured in place under the playground equipment. Below that, and I'll ask the city engineer to describe this.
If you look at it, it looks like shreds of rubber, and you can actually stick it up to your lips and blow, and air will go through that. So,
but don't do that because we don't have alcohol swabs, and I don't want to get sued.
So the idea is when water hits the surface, instead of running off and creating direct runoff into the wetlands, it'll actually soak down into the gravel and have an opportunity to soak into the ground instead of just having direct runoff. Or if nothing else, if it's a heavy rain, it will at least be filtered, and so you'll have clean water going to the wetland instead of dirty water.
Yeah, use the microphone.
One other important thing to note is it's good for fall heights. And of those of you who are not familiar with playgrounds, fall heights, because of the fall zone, if you're at an elevation and children fall, this is going to be much better to land on than wood chips. It's a softer, more porous, rubberized surface. I have a few things that I... Did you want me to come up here with my notes?
I think what I'd like you to do, Ms. Runty, is let's finish with the public hearing and this agenda. And maybe if you go next door, anybody that wants to get some more details, maybe do it that way. Because I do want to keep this to the natural resources component of this issue, if we can. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Katie DeMiri, 3531 West Crest Court.
Please raise your right hand.
Promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Okay. I'm just wondering if there's any studies on this porous stuff that you're putting in to make sure that water is going through, and maybe if there's a comparison between regular land soil versus this stuff, because what I'm worried about is that, and I know a lot of my neighbors can attest for this, our sump pump goes year-round. Like, every day the thing goes off. And what I'm worried about is that if, and I'm glad that you guys are looking into the porous material versus paving all of it or whatever else you should have put in there. That's what I'm worried about, because we're directly across the street from where this is going to be put in. And if water does run into, then our sump pump, and then we flooded basements, and there's a whole big issue.
Okay, so first of all, I'm an elected official, so take that for what it's worth. This will help your water, but we do have an expert, Mr. Fowler.
I don't know if I'm an expert, but I'll also defer to my colleague, Kevin, or my other commissioner, Kevin Haley. I work for the Milwaukee Sewage District. I'm a senior project manager there, and we have installed porous pavement in many locations. One of the issues that you have in the southeast Wisconsin is our, if you've ever put it like, posts in for a deck, you know we have very heavy clay soils, which is really fun to try to put a deck in. That does not allow for water to penetrate very, very rapidly. So when we put in these kinds of porous pavers and these kind of porous pavement, they usually will over-excavate. That's some of the costs, I think, that people talk about. Why is this costing so much? When you put in porous pavers, the upfront capital cost of putting in this type of material can be higher than if you put in a normal asphalt or concrete parking lot. Part of that cost is the over-excavation, so when you put these porous in, you're going to have a drain field underneath that takes the water that penetrates through there to either into the soil to try to infiltrate it better than it can be, or into like a rain garden or somewhere else where it can be infiltrated. So you will have less of a runoff problem with the porous pavement in some cases, even when you have turf grass. Turf grass roots are about this long. They don't allow for water to penetrate through that clay soil because the turf grass has not broken up the clay soil underneath. So in some cases where you have turf grass in that area, it probably is not allowing for rainwater to penetrate further into the soil than the porous pavement with the over-excavation and with a lot of that. And I will defer to the city engineer and to my fellow commissioner if they have anything else to add.
Mr. City Engineer.
Yeah, the only thing I'd like to add is everything you said is factually correct, although I can't see that it would make a noticeable difference. It's going to be such a small percentage of the water that goes in there. I will tell you that the quantity of water going to the wetland will be less but it's going to be so small and different, I don't know that you could actually calculate it.
Okay. Will there be some sort of like stormwater basin thing, or is that just more over the top?
We're using the existing wetland as a stormwater basin.
Okay.
There is a technical answer to that last question, Mr. Deedle.
Yes, the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewers District has standards for all communities in the Milwaukee County area for stormwater, when you have to do stormwater, what standards you have to meet. We have to follow those regulations, and by those regulations, we don't have to do a stormwater management bond.
Yeah, that was in 15-8.
Yep. For our ordinance, our rules are the same. Our standards are the same as the Milwaukee Metropolitans. And we've contacted them, and they said we wouldn't have to do a stormwater bond.
Commissioner Fowler.
And also, I believe there's going to be grant funding, or not. There's funding coming from the sewage district as part of our green program, our greenscape program. And there are standards that they have with that grant program that they will make sure that those standards are upheld. And some of those have some stringent requirements on what has to be stored and what has to be left.
Okay. I did him because he's an expert.
Well, I was going to address your sump pump issue.
Yeah, let's. Anyone else wishing to speak? Ma'am, please come forward. Give us your name and address. You've heard me say this, but please wait and get sworn in. Name and address, please.
Alicia Crow, 3621 Maple Crest Drive.
Thank you, Ms. Crow.
Please raise your right hand. Ms. Crow, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. So mine is more of a question. So our whole block, I guess that's south of that, is still on well water. And you're planning on putting bathrooms in the park. So my question is, I guess, are you getting city water to the park? And if so, when are we getting city water?
Good question. Mr. City Engineer.
As part of the project, we are extending a water main down Crest. Right now, the water main ends at 35th and Crest. And so we plan to take it to 36th and Crest, which is the corner that we're showing the red dot right there. The properties across the street will not be required to hook up, but if they'd like to, then there are fees where they could do that if they'd like to. We don't plan on extending it further south.
Okay, so I missed by about a half of a block there, but do you know what the plans are in the future to get the city on city water?
You're farther west?
South. I'm 36th and Maple Crest, right on the corner there.
So you're right here?
Nope.
Maple Crest. Right here.
No, Maple Crest.
Right there. No, that's right there.
The diagonal house on the corner.
Come on, I'm old. I can't see this.
There. That's the one.
That house right there.
Well, I tell you what. Here's the way we do this. Your alderman's sitting right there. We can, we survey for them, right?
Yep.
If there's a group of you that want to survey for water, now's the time. And Alderman Evans will be happy to help with that.
All right, will do. Thank you.
Good, thank you.
Just repaired the road. Good time to do it.
Yeah. Well, it's important to point out that the water is going in the ditch on the north side. Anyone else wishing to speak?
Would she have to pay for that, or would the hookup have to be paid by us?
You would have to pay for it. Mr. Lewandowski, you've already been sworn. Go ahead.
$30,000 for you. Do I have to be sworn in?
You've already been sworn in.
Okay. Thank you. I just want to make a reminder to this issue is that this is the only park that's been planned to have a bus adequate facilities for a bus to come in there. And it's also one of the other issues that when you talk about the softness of this material, sometimes it's too soft and you're going to have trouble pushing those wheelchairs. There is an issue with the, and I don't know if Mr. Dave Fowler is really up to date, but back about 8 years ago, they put this asphalt into the senior building in Wauwatosa. Are you familiar with that porous asphalt? And I'm wondering why we don't think about that for the new additional parking space so that we could have more nature-type drainage on there. And that's been accomplished by asphalt, which has similar holes in it. And I was there when they were doing it back about 7-8 years ago when I was part of the senior meal program, and I visit all these places. But the issue is the softness of the material, and I keep hearing this staff, and when I ask whose staff it is, just the planning staff. I thought staff was all the people that are in the supervision in the city come to a conclusion. I kind of object to just a couple of people here that are saying that they approve of it. Also, the statement comes in some time ago where this was an all-in-one program for everybody that parked. And now he mentioned it tonight that it was for handicapped people only. So I'm, like I say, I wish somebody would tell me the truth and have these people swear it in, and then I'll have it on tape, and we can straighten this place out. First of all, I object to all this thing going on with these parks. And if these parks that you pointed out in the past are too noisy, they're too noisy for the citizen in the city, especially with the quarry blasting.
Oh, I knew it.
So,
thank you, Mr. Levandowski.
I've got all kinds. There is, Mr. Mayor, we've got too many places where we should get rid of the quarry, the landfill, the prison, all these things before we start worrying about a park. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Levandowski. Anyone else wishing to speak on the natural resources special exception at Franklin Woods Park? Ma'am, your name and address, please.
Anita Panescu Davis, 3801 Maplecrest Drive.
Ms. Davis, please raise your right hand.
I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. My concern is with the development of the park, as a previous person spoke. Feels like you're shoehorning something big into a very small area, and the parking lot doubling of its size really attests to that. What I'm looking at here is the master plan for the city for the outdoor recreational area, and one of the things pointed out in here is that it has rich and diverse flora, including black haw, which is a state-designated special concern species. That was one of the important things that allowed us to have turned this into a nature center over 20 years ago. So I would be very concerned that that continues to be watched and protected, which is why I'm worried about what might be coming after this, because obviously I'm sure it's going to get passed. So, but regardless of that point, if that paving occurs as what's being talked about through the woods, I would be very concerned about that. Because another point in here is saying that due to its rich abundance of natural resource features, the park is planned under the City of Franklin's Comprehensive Master Plan to remain a natural area and a special park. No additional active recreational facilities other than those noted below are planned to be accommodated at the Nature Center due to their potential adverse effects on the natural area. So that's my concern about this. And the three things that are listed as potential improvements in here were enclosing the park pavilion that's there and adding bathrooms, lighting for the parking lot, the existing one, and then linking the park to the Milwaukee County Recreational Corridor Trail. And it's a priority level of three for the development of the park. So obviously in the master plan, there really wasn't much intention to do a whole lot with this, because the idea is to leave it as a natural area. So that's not necessarily in the front part here, but it's in the woods, and that's where I would be very concerned that there would be additional development, adding stations and so forth. So that, again, the cost too is a concern, because, and I know a lot of it is having to add that additional parking for the turnaround and so forth, and it just seems like there's another area, at least you mentioned it, I believe, that park, Pleasant View Natural Park, where there already is a road and a turnaround, and there'll be water, and there'll be an enclosed bathroom and a picnic area and a playground and many other things for $1.4 million, and that includes tennis courts and baseball diamond and a whole list of things that are also in here. That only for $0.2 million, they're getting a whole ton of stuff over there. So, but my main concern is with the preserving the natural area and what was in the plan.
Thank you, ma'am. And I assure you, I too share your concern about the woods, and so does the staff. So, anyone else wishing to speak? I know you're a smart guy. You've heard me say it.
Craig Hyland, 3140 West Yorkshire Circle.
Okay, Mr. Hyland, thank you.
Please say, raise the right hand. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Just had a couple questions on... First of all, I was wondering, are there already parks, handicap accessible parks that are out there now that, I guess I'm not insensitive to the fact that, you know, having a park, we have a park there. The first part that I was kind of worried about, what Joel said, was taking out what's already there. You know, I have kids right now that, a whole neighborhood of kids that go there. So, but the question was answered that all kids obviously can play on the sub. But are there parks now that are handicap accessible that are being used too much, or there's a lot of people doing it? Is there, you know, I'm all for, like, again, having a park like this, but is there that much of a demand here for this?
Well,
is there that many, you know, I mean, I see a lot of people that are here that are, so far I've heard a lot of people that are here that are against it. Where are the people that are for it? You know, how many people are here? This is my first time here, so, you know, maybe I've missed a meeting or something. So I'm just hoping that we've done our background, we've done our checking to see that there are so many kids, adults, whatever, in the area that would actually use the park.
All right. Without objection, I'd like Ms. Rondi to answer that question, even though I would love to take a stab at it, but she's better at it than I am. Yeah, let's use the microphone so it's on the record. Ms. Runty's already been sworn in.
There are other playgrounds that are available, including Port Washington and Oconomowoc. And actually, my daughter Kayla, who has inspired us to build this playground, that little girl behind you is the one that had asked her to go to the American Girl store. And they had a friendship that was an amazing friendship. And although my daughter Kayla could never speak a word and she was in a wheelchair, I saw life lessons of compassion and patience. And these playgrounds, there's one going up in St. Francis, there's one going up in Kenosha. Communities all over Wisconsin would love one of these playgrounds. And having a group such as ours, who's have raised over $200,000, there are 410 children in our Franklin School District that have an IEP, which is an individualized education plan. And what that means is they need additional assistance in their learning. Now, are they all orthopedically impaired like my daughter Kayla? No. Do they have other impairments or diagnoses? Yes. Down syndrome, autism. Our playground is for all children, all children. Those on the spectrum in our community, as well as children just like Alex. And our vision is to teach life lessons to all of our children. And once we implement those life lessons, they can fly well beyond the foundation of a playground and land in communities and leadership positions everywhere. So I hope I answered your question.
Yeah,
I rambled a little bit.
Oh, no,
but
I didn't realize that you were the one, you know,
I'm the bad one. I am. It's really not me. It's my daughter, Kayla, and Alex, and the children that were friends with her that really taught me and the community and some good stuff, you know, that we just want to share with the community.
Yeah, that's great. My question was, is obviously, I mean, you said that there's
410 children in our
Franklin
schools that live in Franklin. Now, do all of them need a liberty swing?
Sir?
No.
Yeah.
Do all of them need a liberty swing? No.
Yeah.
But certainly my daughter Kayla would have loved to go on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and there's other specialized equipment. This is for all children. I mean, they're going to still have swings, slides, towers that they can climb up, mazes. So,
and so you all you had the foam samples and all that.
Absolutely,
stuff.
Mm-hmm. We've done our research.
You know the breakdown on those over the years, or in like 10 years, how does this stuff hold up? I mean, it is rubber.
It holds up longer than wood chips, that's for sure.
Well,
there's a longevity of 10 to 15 years warranty on these things.
10 to 15 year warranty, and then
on the rubberized surface.
Okay, let me remind everybody we are talking about the natural resources special exception.
I'm happy to answer your question.
But I did hear a different question from you. Shelly answered the question I wanted her to answer, but you asked if there were other accessible playgrounds.
Yeah,
you need to define that word.
There
are other ADA compliant playgrounds. There are no other accessible playgrounds to the degree this one is in this area.
So this would be the first one in Frank.
That's ADA compliant. It's not accessible.
Okay. So let me just educate. Accessible and inclusive are two different things. So imagine accessibility. You can get up to the play structure, but you can't go in anything. You can sit and watch. Now, inclusiveness, that's where we have the accessibility component of it with the port in place, but the inclusive component is where they can go by their peers and interact with their peers and be on the play structure on an elevation of ramps. Now, I know one of the other questions was, why is it so big? Because we are conforming to ADA slopes and guidelines, we have ramps that take up bigger square footage. So it's going to be bigger because we meet those ADA needs.
Okay. What I'd like for anyone that's interested, you can meet with Shelly after we're done here or now if she wants, whatever. But this is a public hearing regarding the natural resources special exception. Is there anyone else wishing to speak on the matter? Mr. Island?
I guess just the last thing I had was
Mr. Ryan, could you use the microphone, please?
What's it called?
Sure. Thank you. Thanks,
Jerry. I guess my only other thing was, you know, like the woods and all. Like, I don't see how it's possible, how you possibly think that you could pave any of that without taking out trees and stuff, which I definitely before not, you know, not doing that. I mean, if you could make it some way without doing the without the pavement, I don't see how you could even remotely try to say you can. I don't think you can. You'd have to make it wider, which you're going to end up having to cut down trees and stuff. And then where are you going to bring the water from? I mean, you're going to bring it right down 35th Street, right in the...
Water exists to this corner. Bring it in the ditch to Crest, to this corner, between the houses. No, there is no house there. And then bring it across here, and then on a diagonal up to the restroom. And there is a sewer. You can kind of see it. It's right. It runs through the entire parcel. So we'll get into that. I don't know. That's city engineer's business.
Is there trees going to be removed for putting the water in? Because it's all trees and bushes along Crest there.
Mr. City Engineer.
I don't know that we won't remove any trees. We're going to try to avoid them to snake around there. But there is somewhat of a open space where there's an existing walkway right there, and I think we're going to try to hit that if we can. If we can fit an excavator through there, I think that's we're still working on that.
Anyone else wishing to speak on a natural resources special exception? Yes, ma'am. Please come forward. Give us your name. You've heard this. Give us your name and address and be sworn.
Gail Swindrowski, 3701 Maple Crest Drive.
Thank you, Ms. Swindrowski.
Please raise the right hand. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes. I have a question. I know that there was talk about adding security lighting and security features. How will that addition of security lighting and changes to the current security situation at the park affect the natural resources?
Mr. City Engineer, great question.
Yeah, that's actually a very good question. We were designing all the lighting. We have some lighting around the exterior of the restroom. And interior of the restroom, and we plan to put some lights inside the pavilion and lights on at least two of the corners of the playground. Now, we were going to put motion detectors, and we've instructed our design to do motion detectors. So 3 o'clock in the morning or any time when nobody's walking around, their lights should not be on. Not say an animal or something wouldn't trigger it.
Please.
But we heard a lot of concern about the park is currently being visited after hours. A lot of activity in the pavilion. Maybe it's not the best thing. So we thought that would deter a lot of that. So the idea is that, again, there would not be any lights at all unless some activity were to activate it. Predominantly persons, but not to say that there wouldn't be deer or a raccoon or something that would trigger that. So ordinarily it would be off.
Is the construction of lighting going to impact the natural resources at all? Or is there any additional...
No. It'll be on the restroom facility,
inside
the existing pavilion, and on the corners of the playground. So, no, we're not.
And we've also seen the plans change a couple of times. I was just wondering how final these plans are.
I think they're finally getting to. Of course, it depends on tonight and next week at council for the final decision. But the site plan is finally sitting still. And again, we've been open to any and all comments, constructive criticism. We've tried to take all the points and tried to accommodate all the concerns we've heard. Obviously, we can't make everyone happy. I think some folks would prefer us not do anything there, but we have considered all the options and all the opinions, and it has morphed. It has morphed a lot because we're really truly trying to be inclusive of everyone's concerns.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else wishing to speak? You've been sworn, but give us your name and address because it's going on tape.
Katie Calabona, I got married, Demiri. I know, holy cow, I gotta
Is the honeymoon over or not started yet?
3531 West Crestport. I wanted to bring this up maybe a little over 2 weeks ago, maybe more information on the music thing. Was there a music activity thing that's going in? No, I thought there was a music activity thing on one of the ramps or on something like that that was brought up. I wanted to know more about that.
Can we do that offline?
Later? Okay.
Yeah. Well.
Okay. Sounds good, Mark.
Thank you.
Okay. Sounds good.
Anyone else on the natural resources special exception? Anyone else? Seeing no other takers, I will close the citizen the public hearing. Thank you very much. Public hearing is closed on this. Any questions from the commission? Commissioner Haley.
A couple questions of staff you can help me with. You stated that the Wisconsin DNR delineated the ordinary high water mark and determined it was a navigable stream. Did they take jurisdiction, or is that the Corps of Engineers?
That's Corps of Engineers, and we're still waiting for an answer.
Okay.
But actually, I have not officially asked. I've only unofficially asked.
Have all of these wetlands been actually field delineated?
Yes.
Okay, and then transferred to map. So
yes.
We're dealing with the final
tonight's
concurrence
information
came from the DNR on that.
Yep.
So then
DNR said that DNR was out there when sewer pack was out there, and I called the DNR the day afterwards, and they said they don't need to concur. One, generally speaking, they won't need to concur on a sewer pack delineation. Two, they happen to be out there at the same time.
Okay. So then the issue with the navigable waterway isn't really have anything to do with the Corps of Engineers. It's more about establishing the shoreline.
As far as I know, so far, yes.
And then the DNR requires that the city protect the 75-foot shoreline buffer.
They want us to follow our regulations, and they were aware of our 75.
And the question that it appears as if we're doing construction and development within that 75-foot shoreline buffer, not buildings, but pads and structures. And I'm wondering if that's in fact consistent with our zoning and therefore the DNR requirement to comply with that.
Now, two separate related things. We have shoreline zoning,
yes,
like other communities do, but it's only for the wetlands within the shoreline zone. And those wetlands we're not touching. Then we have our normal natural resource protection standards. That is what we are impacting. So then the shore buffer, per our section 15-4, no touch. That's why we have to do this natural resource special exception. Even though from a mitigation standpoint, from the amount of square foot and proximity to the wetland, on one hand, you could assume maybe we should be asking for more mitigation. But on the other hand, I factored in the fact that it's all mowed lawn right now. So we're impacting the resource only from section 15-4 of our ordinance, not from 15-8 or whatever it is, no, 15-3.08 something, shoreland wetlands. So only from our shore buffer standpoint are we impacting it.
That's okay, and I got the part that really this is the city ordinances on those two buffers, but doesn't the 75-foot shoreland buffer still need to be preserved? That's independent of our natural resource standard. That's I thought was a zoning setback, and for, I just want to make sure that
for towns,
the improvements we're proposing that are within that 70-foot line
Warren and I had
are going to raise the ire of the DNR.
So we both called, I should say, Orrin called, I checked state statutes. 75-foot is regulated by the state if we annex property from a town. Otherwise, it doesn't apply to cities. And then it all applies in towns and counties.
Okay. I think that answers most of my question. I was a little bit concerned to hear that we've actually got language in our comprehensive outdoor recreation plan that speaks to this park, and we seem to be doing something inconsistent with that. So it would have seemed appropriate that maybe the plan commission and the council had taken action to modify that prior to maybe something we want to clean up, because the current plan obviously has different uses envisioned.
We envision doing that anyway. Part of the impact fee, the wording in the new impact fee will be generic enough so that it applies to this site, because we've already done a park plan amendment for this playground specifically at the Victory of the Land site. Now we're going to change that park impact fee language, which was already adopted as part of the park plan, to be more generic to say within a city park.
Thank you, that's helpful.
We'll also fix this as at that
again, time. I'm trying to focus on the natural resources here, and those are the questions that I had.
Commissioner Thinnes.
Joel, you know, I took a walk through this site today, and I've noticed that there is a lot of markings out there, little pink flags along the wetlands area on the east side of the park. Is that delineating the edge of the wetland?
Yep.
You know, from my trying to compare the maps to what I was seeing out there, it looks like because of the grooming of the existing park, most of the wetland setback areas that we're looking at being violated here have already been violated. They're no longer natural areas like a requirement would be to be left completely alone.
Correct.
So they're already gone.
Yeah, correct. That 30-foot buffer next to these wetlands should never have been mowed, but has always been mowed, even before our natural resource protection standards.
Okay. Because, the actual standing water is right up to the grass right now.
Yep.
Your mitigation efforts to remove the invasive species that are potentially there or going to grow, is your planting stuff that you're planning on doing there with your landscaping along that area, which is going to reestablish a lot of that natural zone along that wetland area, is that considered a direct mitigation of the wetland?
To a certain extent, yes. I didn't want to overemphasize that because it is also part of our landscaping. So I'm claiming it for two reasons. One is part of the landscaping, and two is part of the natural resources, so mitigation. So I was counting it towards both. But I still wanted to emphasize the removal of invasive species as the primary mitigation measure, and the establishment of the native landscaping in the buffer next to the playground as the secondary.
Well, I think that term you just used, native planting, it's not ornamental landscaping. No. It is reestablishing plantings that would naturally occur along a buffer area like that next to a wetland.
And hopefully we can achieve this with a provision for some butterfly habitat in there too. That's going beyond my knowledge and ability of plant species and which animals are compatible. That's why we're hiring that Johnson, or not, they're going to volunteer, I believe, volunteer their services to design this, and that's what their goal is, our direction to them is. Number one, compatible with that wetland buffer and setback. to butterfly habitat, and hopefully we can do both.
Okay. Under the new playground area where you're putting in the semi-pervious coating, there's going to be a grade elevation change there. I mean, are you going to be disturbing subsoils to create that drainage bed, or are you going to be escalating the
I believe it's
grade?
Mostly digging down with the city engineer.
Yes, city engineer.
And again, the site plan still is morphing, but it's very, very close to the existing grades. The finished grade won't be a lot different than the final grade in most locations. We do have to excavate below the playground surface to have some gravel, and below the pavers we'll excavate even further for some storage. The original intent was to let that build up 18 inches before it would overflow into a subsurface drainage. But after looking at the soils report, I'm still going to have the depth of gravel, but I'll have the subsurface drainage at the bottom of the trench. So that is almost acting like a retention pond. Hopefully some would absorb into the soils, but it won't sit there for days.
So do you know what the subsoils are there?
We do, and they are mostly clays. We had a soils report for several spots around there. We're doing a foundation design for the restroom.
So you could possibly have repercolation of stored water underneath there back up to the surface?
If I recall soils report, I don't believe any holes exhibited groundwater standing when they did it about 2 weeks ago. And again, if it did, there would be subsurface drainage that would get it out to the wetland. So if it did happen, it would only happen for a few days after excavation, then it should just stay fairly constant.
They did test those soils out there then.
They did.
Yeah,
yes.
I think I saw some of the holes.
matter of fact, they were very kind. They made it quick about two Saturdays ago, and they wrote the report up on a Sunday. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Mr. City Attorney.
Just in case the question comes up, maybe on an unrelated matter, I think I heard the planning manager say that with regard to natural resource special exceptions under the UDO, that mitigation is mandatory. And it's been a while since the question arose, but when the question was posed, and I read the UDO, my answer was that it is not mandatory per the black letter of the UDO, just for the record.
Item C1, Kayla's Playground, item A. Is there a motion? I'm sorry, Alderwoman Mayer.
I have a question regarding the plantings around the playground. It's my understanding that was chosen to be put there because people wanted it to be, people in the neighborhood wanted it to be kind of sheltered and, you know, blocked, I guess. So I am wondering why on the west side there would be so much more of that there and not more on the side with the neighborhood?
North side's got more.
I think I can address that.
Click, Joel. Click. There you go.
So this area here, we're going to be excavating because we're going to be getting rid of the pathway, because right now the pathway goes through there anyway. The original design of the playground, we actually had that all the whole area, and when we changed the design to a smaller footprint of the actual playground, we just kept that because we're going to disturb it anyway, so might as well enhance the beauty and make a butterfly habitat. We will be planting some trees down in here. As a matter of fact, you may see a tree or two bubble out, and they're as I understand, we can expand on this wetland the planted area. What's it?
Yeah, native plantings.
Yeah, we are allowed to expand the native area, so this would be the minimum. Some of the concerns, obviously, there's some ash trees taken off down here, and we probably would put some plantings over here to help screen that. I also had a resident over here that was concerned about having to view the playground, so we're going to independently plant some trees over here that has nothing to do with the playground. So we will put some trees on this side, but and again, we haven't designed the floor yet. Johnson Nurseries, they've donated their services to design it, and I haven't seen that design yet.
And what is the cost of the you know, obviously you can't come up with an exact amount. They're only donating the design. So what is an estimate for all the planting?
We originally had a budget of, as you mentioned the other night, $3,500. But again, the site plan is now that it's sitting still and morphing, and we plan to finish our design this week, or at least get it fairly good where I can come up with additional quantities and talk to you at the next council meeting.
What is the estimate at this point of how many plantings you would need for that? And it just doesn't seem like you have very much on that bottom part to screen much of anything, as the concerns of the residents were.
I think in my estimate, I'd assume 10 trees and then some minor plantings. And again, we're getting ready to design, and I haven't seen that design and come up with a new estimate yet.
So how is that really blocking any kind of view? I guess I'm just trying to figure out. There just doesn't seem to be much.
Well, and as I mentioned, I think we'd like to maybe put some trees on this side right here.
What kind of trees?
We haven't decided yet. It would be native, non-invasive species.
Madam Alderman, let me jump in here. The concept of planting trees here has less effect than planting trees here on blocking the view from the south.
Well, that's fine. That was just my understanding of why that was being there, put there.
Well,
was to do that exactly
this is,
that.
This is aesthetics, mitigation, and wetland improvement.
There is a as far as the grade change, this is probably the largest grade change. There's about a foot, maybe a foot and a half difference between the walkway right here, the pavers, and the surface. Now, you won't notice that because you won't be able to walk from one to the other, because there will actually be a fence here. But trying to keep grades fairly even and level, this is basically one level contour line. And so in this area, there will be some grade separation. So that's why I have plantings coming around to help hide that grade separation.
And I wonder that the top paver portion, how much water does that actually take?
Right here?
Yeah.
Well,
rather than, you know, grass, or having that, having the trail actually come through that area closer to make it more, I don't know, conducive to biking and that kind of thing.
We tried to make sure at least we had concrete for a pathway. So pavers, you know, over time they can settle a little bit, and you have to really watch for wheelchair accessibility. You know, any sort of a gap would be a tripping hazard. So the thought was concrete is less apt to have differential settling. That's why we have concrete going all the way around. We tried to minimize the concrete and tried to put pavers in as the most places we could. If you'd like to take the pavers out and put concrete in, we could do that, although that would, if you'd be less beneficial to the numbers. Plus MMSD, we are using our green funds to actually pay for those pavers. So the more pavers I can put in, the more money, less money out of pocket for the city.
I'm just trying to make it, because it seems like a very odd way that the trail is now being proposed. It'd just be nice to take that top paver out and put the trail through that area.
You could still walk right across. This will all be level. It's just, you know, as a patio, you do want concrete around pavers so the pavers don't have room to start moving and shifting, and then you start losing them. You like to have a border to keep them tight.
Okay.
And I could make it all concrete, but that's more money out of our pockets to MMSD's reimbursement.
I wasn't saying all concrete. That wouldn't be good either. So, all right, thank you.
Commissioner Fowler.
Yeah, I just want to speak. There was some concern about the master plan and what this park was designated for, and having served on the planning staff as a planning commissioner, when we put together the master plan, I do share those concerns as well. But I do believe, and this is my opinion, that the mitigation that's going to be done by removing the invasive species will provide more benefit to that forest by removing those buckthorn and some of those invasive species. However, that being said, I don't know what assurances the city can give or to those residents and those people that have a strong feeling about that we're not following the master plan, that the additional areas of the forest that parkland, because this was a passive park, and I've walked this park many times. I think it's one of the gems that we have in the city, how we can make assurances that those remaining areas of the forest will be protected and the mitigation of the buckthorn will be done. Because I don't see anything in our plans that the city has going forward that any other areas of this park would be touched. But like I said, I do believe the mitigation will be helpful in protecting that forest moving forward.
Following that, you said that there was only a 3-year. Can we just increase that to forever or something?
We could. I'm assuming that city staff will be doing most of the work, but not all of it. We're going to be looking for volunteers. Hopefully the playground crew that helps put some of the playground together will be participating the first time. I hope the Friends of Franklin Parks will help participate in the following years, but some of this work is probably going to be city staff. So it's a reasonable question to bring up at the council if the council is comfortable adding more years. Normally, for mitigation follow-up, it's normally 2 or 3 years. Recently, that Autumn Leaves memory care development on Drexel, they did a plan for 5 years. It's the first time we ever had one that was that long.
And that was suggested by us, correct?
From the get-go, we encouraged longer rather than shorter. I don't think we ever gave them a number of years. But knowing that we were hoping for more rather than less, they were able to work out something with MELC, the Milwaukee Area Land Conservancy.
Right.
So I think it was that mutually beneficial arrangement and the encouragement of the city that gave us the 5 years.
So that's a common council decision to put something, or would we put something in there? Like
Plan Commission could recommend, sure.
Now, before we do that, being mayor and the guy responsible for the budget, I strongly urge you to think about the big picture implication of that, not only the cost factor, but the next group of people that walk in here and say, I want infinity on my park too. So I just urge you to think about it before making an action. Anyone, I'm sorry, Commissioner Fowler.
Just a couple of items on that. One of the things that we do on our district projects when we do native plantings, we do have a 5-year establishment period, and I believe I would recommend, and if when the motion's made, I'm going to make a recommendation that we do extend that from 3 years to 5 years. I also would recommend that I'm with the parks people. I do mitigation for invasive species. They have excellent programs. This is not a county park, but I think talking with the Milwaukee County Parks and the parks people about how they do that mitigation, I know we have people here in the city that have some expertise, but they have very good programs on buckthorn and garlic mustard and controlling those invasive species and how to do it over a long-term period. And particularly working with a volunteer force, you need to have a certain amount of training, a certain amount of follow-up, and making sure there are people that are going to be responding to that. So, and I'd be willing to help coordinate that if people would like that. Since I'm already signed up as a supervisor to the construction, I might as well do this too.
There you go. Any other discussion? Commissioner Haley.
I wanted to clarify because I think there's some concern in the audience, and just for my own purpose. The site plan that we're being asked to approve here does not include potentially putting paved trails through the woods.
That's
something we would look at and evaluate in the future. So the impacts we're talking about are right here and now in an area that's already been disturbed.
Correct.
Thank you.
Is there a motion to recommend approval of the City of Franklin Natural Resource Feature Special Exception pursuant to the standards and findings and decision recommended by the Plan Commission and Common Council consideration of any Environmental Commission recommendation with the addition of a 5-year plant establishment commitment?
Maintenance.
And maintenance.
And maintenance.
So moved.
Is there a second for that?
I'll second that.
Discussion of the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Mayor votes aye. I don't know. All right. I got yelled at with the ayes. The second motion is a motion to approve a resolution amending the site plan for property located at 3723 West Pewds Road to allow for improvements to the Franklin Woods Nature Center Special Park, to accommodate Kayla's playground, an all-inclusive, all-accessible playground.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Discussion that motion. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The mayor did not vote. Okay. Also public hearing, Unified Development Ordinance text amendment to allow the creation of new lots of record for existing one family detached dwelling, and two families. Thank you, everybody, for coming. If you want to see the plans and things, new lots of record for existing one family detached dwellings and two family attached dwellings upon properties located in a B4 South 27th Street mixed use commercial district. This is a public hearing. Mr. Fuchs, please read the notice.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, May 7th, 2015 at 7 p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding application by Adam C. Murphy and Tanya M. Murphy for a proposed ordinance to amend Section 15-3.0304A2 of the Unified Development Ordinance to allow for the creation of new lots of record for existing one-family detached dwellings and two-family attached dwellings upon property in the B4 South 27th Street Mixed-Use Commercial District. Section 15-3.0304A2 of the Unified Development Ordinance requires that no new lots of record for one-family detached dwellings and two-family attached dwellings be created after the effective date of the ordinance on or about June 17, 2005. The applicant's property currently supports multiple existing buildings for single-family and commercial existing uses.
Mr. Deedle, presentation.
The subject area is up on the screen. As the public hearing noticed, this is the subject property. There's multiple buildings. They're all connected to one another right now. They are proposing to change the requirement that this area... Yes. Okay. So this is the subject property here. These are the multiple buildings on the individual one site. They're all connected to one another. This is, I believe, is a pool. It's a garage. This is the house that's being renovated. It was an old school. And then these are the business buildings. So the applicant is asking that we change the UDO, specifically that part that talks about existing on 27th Street, B4 zoning district, that existing single-family homes, that no new lots of record for one-family detached and two-family attached be created after the effective date of that 27th Street plan in this zoning district. They want to change it to add that change it from none at all to no new single or two family. So what they're saying is they would like this particular situation to be allowed, not new ones to be created. Nick did a real quick search along 27th Street to see if this kind of scenario would exist where there's multiple buildings, some of which would be residential, some which would be commercial. He didn't find any, so if this would happen, it would probably be pretty rare. The applicant would also intend to follow up this request if it's approved with a CSM to split that residential part somewhere along in here so that these buildings would be separate. This one would be with that lot, and then these buildings would be on a separate lot. So it's still allowed mixed use. So they'd have single family and potentially a business in the back. So from the standpoint of the... So the only issue that staff... considered was again the consistency with the comprehensive master plan, which incorporates by reference the 27th Street plan where this idea came from. The 27th Street plan and the B4 zoning district both say nothing less than 2 acres is allowed for new lots. And he's going to be larger than that. I think the smaller lot is 3 acres. So he wouldn't be violating with a CSM or with this UDO text amendment that clear limit. There is a statement in the 27th Street plan that says that any further land divisions should be limited. It doesn't say prohibited, it only says limited. So bottom line, it goes down to this proposal is not contrary to the comprehensive master plan, its goals, objectives, and policies, and that statement. Maybe it doesn't further that, but again, the bottom line is consistent. Is the proposed change to the text or zoning or a subdivision consistent with, which means not contrary to. And I would say it doesn't further, but it's not contrary. So bottom line, we think it's okay. We're recommending approval, but we understand that it doesn't further that no land divisions, but that's not a definitive prohibition. So staff is recommending approval, and it was an important factor in our mind that we don't think this scenario is going to come up very often.
Mr. City Attorney.
Just a point of clarification or correction. My understanding of Mr. Fuchs's property surveys was not dependent upon an existing parcel having both residential single or two-family development and commercial development. It was only with regard to single-family or two-family development, and he found on his reviewer search no parcels large enough that would even be divisible out of the minimum 2-acre lot size, so it would have to be more than 4 acres to create two lots, and so that renders this particular property essentially unique. So this amendment would only apply to this property, correct?
Yep,
correct. And this being part of the 27th Street effort, the zoning and the design and all that, this particular request does not fly in the face of the desires of that whole project. This is a public hearing. I will open a public hearing. Anyone wishing to speak? I see the applicants here. You don't have to if you don't want to.
I don't know if I should speak during the public or if there's something you guys want to ask me.
We can do it either way or both. Is there something you want to add, Adam? First, your name and address.
Sure. My name is Adam Murphy, 9843 South 27th Street. All right, cool. Essentially, we just want to own our house. That's really what this comes down to. I've spent a lot of time working with Nick as we've tried to identify how to break this out. And this kind of became the simplest solution. We all understand that we don't want additional houses along South 27th Street. We're one of very few, but it's a 130-year-old building, and I've got about $1 million into it, so it's not going anywhere. So we thought that this was a simple and elegant solution to say, ideally, what probably was meant in the first place of, you know, we don't want any houses, not too much, we don't want any lots with houses. If you've got any questions, happy to answer.
Let's continue to public hearing and get the questions if there are any. Anyone else wishing to speak on this matter? By the way, this doesn't require sworn testimony because it's not a natural resource, a special exception. That's why I didn't swear.
That's why I didn't.
Anyone else wishing to speak? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing. Members of the commission, questions? Commissioner Thinnes.
Joel, the question I have is, I see there's a little carved out section here in the survey, just to the north of the house and pool there.
Unplatted land.
Yeah, the unplatted land. Is that city-owned property or?
Nope. I don't think so.
It's private?
Yes.
So it's just a lot that's carved out and just sitting there. We have no, there's a tax code on it or?
Mr. Murphy, do you want to come forward and enlighten us a little bit maybe?
It's about 20,000 square feet. It's unbuildable because it's too small for anything along those lines. We do not own it. We own all the way around it, around three sides. Obviously, South 27th Street is on the other side. As far as I'm aware, the last transaction associated with it was 1 month after we closed on the property. It was sold.
So somebody private does own it now?
I believe so, yes.
But it's unbuildable and it doesn't fit the the confines of the zoning because it's too small.
Correct.
0.17 acres.
Yeah. I would love to own it, but...
Well, there's the guy.
Oh, I'm aware of that.
The other question I have is...
Thanks, Ed.
I see the dividing line between the two properties goes, and I did drive through the parking lot there today. The dividing line through the two parcels goes right through a connector link between two of the buildings. Now I'm going to assume by looking at the dimensions that they have on here that this zoning requires a 10-foot side lot setback. Because I see they've got the 10-foot 20? 2 dimension to the one building and 14.6 to the other one.
Yes, that's a 10-foot side.
So. Okay, so it satisfies the setback, but normally we wouldn't let buildings go across the boundary line.
We wouldn't let a boundary line go across the building.
Yep. So is that going to be removed? Or?
It may be our recommendation. That'll be coming as part of the CSM, and that probably will be at the next Plan Commission meeting, and that might be our recommendation.
It's been discussed with the applicant that that be either removed or... the applicant would have to receive a variance from the setback requirement.
Okay, I'm taking it the building to the north of that link is also a business building.
Would you like me to dive in again?
Yeah, I'm just asking. You probably know best if that's...
No, actually, I live in it right now.
No, I'm talking this little one here.
Yes, I'm aware.
This one right here?
Yes.
That's where you're living right now?
Yes, we're going to renovate the school.
And the school is going to be the permanent home?
Correct.
And the other thing is a home also, right? Connected to it in
now,
front of the
way that it plays out right now, here you go. The 9851, so the large building in the south is our offices. That was built in 1989. The next building north of that was built in the late 1940s, early 1950s, single-story steel construction. Was part of the overall school because the Oakwood School's been around for 130 years.
Right.
So, and then the what will be our residence, what was the former owner's residence, is that the Cream City Brick Schoolhouse that was built in 1883. They're all physically connected. Again, we're living in that middle one while we renovate the large one. As far as our future plans for it, the most likely scenario from a banking standpoint is that we will consider it residential, the two buildings combined because they physically touch each other.
Which two buildings are you referring to? The school and...
The schoolhouse and then that 50s
that building.
Building.
Okay.
Because, in part, we'll have the subdivision line ideally going between the two buildings, as you pointed out. So from a mortgage standpoint, having it as a residential, essentially it will be a 7,500-square-foot residence. Going forward, if somebody purchases it from us down the road, obviously, it's still mixed use as far as zoning. It can be done, yeah, it can be used however they desire.
So both of these zonings are multi-use zonings.
Mixed use.
So they can both contain both. So that building that what you're living in right now could eventually become a business. It's not necessary that all those on one lot be residential and all the ones on the other lot be business.
Not at all. Like I said, only for our mortgage.
But it is concerning that the link between those two buildings is going across that boundary.
The link right now, and I'll explain it to you, as Nick said, it's a conversation that we've had. Right now, because of the commercial nature of our offices, and when we purchased the property in 2006, we weren't entirely sure what we were going to do with that middle building. So we were required by the city fire department to put in sprinkler systems throughout those two buildings. So right now, all of those connections come from the office building on the south into that building through that breezeway connection. So at this point, until, first of all, this ordinance is changed, and then secondly, we get the approval to actually subdivide the property, I can't do anything with that breezeway connection because I'm required to have the sprinkler system. Ideally, we'll take a look at it then once everything else is cleaned up and we can actually subdivide the property. I haven't looked at engineering for it. I haven't looked at specs for it. I haven't looked at what we'd have to do to the exteriors of the buildings based on removing that. So it will be a plan going forward, and we will either, as Nick said, remove it, or we'll look at applying for a variance in order to keep it.
So you're saying your sprinkler input is existing in that southern building.
Correct.
And then links over to the other.
Correct. Right, along with our alarm systems, fire, smoke, all the other requirements by the city. So at this point, I can't get rid of it. Once we do everything else, then yes, we certainly can.
Okay.
Anyone else? I'm sorry, Commissioner Haley.
So then the parcel to north, the intention would be to put in a new driveway that connects directly to 27th Street?
That would be fabulous, but it won't happen. South 27th Street, as I'm sure you're well aware, is Wisconsin State Department of Transportation, not the city of Franklin. And the plan for the from the DOT does not allow, we've talked with them, does not allow us to put one in. So, no, we will be maintaining the access through the parking lot of the other building, just like you would, actually, just as it is right now, just as it's been for the last 50 years, and just as the South 27th Street plan calls for pretty much all of the other buildings. Additionally, the DOT has already informed us that part of the plan going forward at some point in time, God only knows when, is to put a street access from South 27th Street back through to the houses to the west. 31st Street that would go along our southern property line, whether in our property line or whether they would be in the farmland between us and Wheaton Franciscan, I'm not sure. But when that happens, they've informed me that they would actually remove both of our accesses from South 27th Street, forcing us to come in and enter on the side along whatever that street would be to the south. The residents would maintain access through the parking lot then for the offices there. Again, it's the DOT plan.
Thank you for that. And then I assume staff will work with you, because if you're going to do a certified survey map, you'll need to create permanent access easements across those other lots.
That's what lawyers are for.
In the future. And in the, for what it's worth, the apartment, that little inlier, if you're doing a CSM, now's the time to try again to get it, because
it was purchased for a little over $50,000 for a 15th of an acre. I'm thinking that personally somebody was anticipating that because a software company from downtown Milwaukee was moving in, which is me, that perhaps there was an opportunity to make some money. The property is worth about $2,600. I don't think I'll be getting it anytime soon.
I only pointed out because there was a significant expense associated with doing a certified survey map, and to have to redo that later.
Oh, I'm beyond aware of that. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm good.
Any other questions? Seeing none, the public hearing's been closed. Is there a motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend section 15-3.0304A2 of the Unified Development Ordinance to allow for the creation of new lots of record for existing one-family detached dwellings and two-family attached dwellings upon a property located in the B4 zoning district of South 27th Street Mixed-Use Commercial District?
This is just an approval of the text amendment to the allow the division, but not necessarily approving the division itself. Okay, I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thanks,
Adam. I'll move on to D1, existing duplex conversion into two condominium units. Mr. Siebel. Okay.
Prairie Grass Preserve subdivision, two-family house. The person would like to do a condo plat. No issues from that standpoint, although I suppose I could point out there once was a condo plat previously approved for this building, but there's a court judgment that voided that agreement or that condo. So now the current owner would like to put it back in a condominium plat. So it was approved the first time by the city. Some bank issues ultimately resulted in a judge voiding the condo plat or the declaration. And the current owner, now not a bank, would like to make it a condo like it once was, approved by the city. And so there were no issues the first time. Staff has no issues this time and is recommending approval.
Questions for staff? I'm sorry, Commissioner Thinnes.
I read in the report here that I've driven through them. There's a lot of two-family, just two families in there, pretty nice homes in that. And I read in this here that about a little over half of them are already condominiums, right?
Yep.
So this is not an unusual
development. And there's been one or two cases where they flip-flopped after. Once they would do a condo and back to the two-family and vice versa. But yes, I think right now as it stands, about half.
And all of these are individually being run as individual condominium associations.
As far as I know, I haven't checked owners. But
so there are some groupings that are in multiple buildings within the same condo, but some are just the buildings.
For the record, I argued against individual condominium development. So make it all one or none. Prevents this kind of issue. Mr. City Engineer.
I didn't pick that up in here, and I'm looking back through, and I don't see it again. Could you elaborate more on the court issue and, I mean, what happened? Could this happen again? What
we hope.
I'm not sure of the details. The owner might be here and be able to answer, but it's my understanding something happened during the time of the bank looking at this. I don't know if the owner defaulted on a payment or the bank. Something happened to the bank. But next thing you know, it's not clear who owns it. Finally went to court, and the judge declared it void.
Mr. Best is here. So you want to come on up and have a seat at the table?
So my question is, there's nothing technical.
No.
There's nothing technical.
The only reason I've mentioned it is because if you look at our GIS layer, it already shows up as a condo plat.
Well, the reality is I don't know what we need you. The city attorney.
I don't know anything about any court case. But I dare say the issue went to the condominium form of ownership versus duplex or two-family form of ownership. And I'm sure that's it. And you get into the real estate arena, and some folks would prefer to sell or own a condominium in terms of value of operation or whatever, and others might prefer a two-family single owner as opposed to two owners of areas within the building. I'm sure that's got to be what it was.
Well, Tri-City owned
Mr. Best, please use the microphone. Give us your name and address, please.
Tri-City owned
Your name and address, please.
Eric Bestie, 8988 South Corgrass Circle, East. Tri-City owned six or seven of those properties, and they went into foreclosure. So when it went into foreclosure back in 2009 or 10, at that time, the condo market wasn't where it's at now, so they changed it into owner-occupied. So now the condo market's changed around.
Any other questions for staff? Is there a motion to recommend approval of a resolution conditionally approving a condominium plat for 8986 and 8988 South Corgrass Circle condominiums? At again, 8986 and 8988 South Corgrass Circle East, lot 47 of the Prairie Grass Preserve subdivision.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion of the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. It'll be on the week Tuesday. Okay, we move on to item two, Gus's Mexican Cantina temporary use application for a car show with Mr. Deal.
excuse me. Gus's has done this the last couple years. Actually, this is very similar to the last 2 years. And then, so back in 2013, 2014, the applicant had asked for the same temporary use. I'm not aware of any serious issues. The only one I'm aware of was one of the times somebody complained about the music, and one time there was a concern that some people were just walking across Highway 100 from this event to another one that was being held across the street at the same time. Otherwise, I'm not aware of any issues or concerns with this. It's been previously approved as a temporary use both in 2013 and 2014, almost exactly the same as this one. A smaller version of this was approved back in 2012. There are a number of conditions that he has to abide by in regards to the hours of operation and cleaning up the site when all done. Staff's recommending approval, and just FYI, we do keep reminding the applicant that he could try for, I believe it would be a UDO text amendment, to try to get this permanent, but he prefers to do it this way. So, but we are recommending approval.
No condition about the movable advertising parked on the lot?
we try to keep that always close to what's being asked for. I would think it's a little bit of a stretch.
I got it. Alderwoman Marion. All right, that motion is a motion to approve a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a temporary use for a seasonal weekly car show upon the property located approximately 6514 South Lovers Lane Road in the Garden Plaza Shopping Center. It's been moved and seconded. Discussion. Commissioner Stennis.
Joel, I've been to this car show on a number of occasions, and I just enjoy car shows. Has there been any reports, complaints from like other people in the shopping center about the parking lot usage and stuff like that? You haven't heard any complaints about
that? Not that I'm aware of. I know that was concerns the first time that we approved one of these, but I'm not aware of any.
Okay. The other question I would have is, do you survey like the police department to find out if there's been any imprudent driving issues associated with the...
No. If I hear rumors, then I do. And sometimes they come to us. So, for instance, the Mulligans.
I'm going to jump in the middle of this one. It's a little afield of the discussion of the motion. So, I just didn't know. Should have done that before the motion was made. So, anyway. Sorry, Scott. But Mr. City Attorney is going to correct me.
Mr. Dito, as a question to... Department of City Development staff, as a matter of day-to-day ordinary course of business, aren't routing sheets on all applications circulated to the City of Franklin Police Department for their review and comment?
Correct.
Thank you.
And they expressed no comments.
Motion to approve on the table. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Actually, I misspoke on that. It was not on the table. Okay, item three, a three-lot certified survey map by MC Home Builders, three lots for a property located in an R3 district, 7979 South 68th Street. Mr. Deal.
Yes, CSN on 68th Street, behind the Tuckaway Country Club golf course, proposing to split it into, I believe, three portions, approximately equally shaped or equally sized. Very similar in size to the lots across the street, although the lots further south on 68th are tending to be a little bit larger than this, but clearly within the size requirements of the R3 district, clearly similar in size to the ones across the street. We do have two conditions, one that the structures would have to be raised because the principal use has to always have to be residential, and two, that they either do a natural resource protection plan based on best available information or hire an expert to verify that there are no natural resources, but it appears there probably are not any. So those are the two conditions of approval that we're recommending for this CSM, and otherwise we didn't see any other issues, so we're recommending approval.
Those conditions are conditions 6 and 7.
I think they're yes.
Of the two that you recommend.
Yes.
It's conditions 6 and 7.
Yes.
Of the two that you recommended. Questions from the commission? Seeing none, is there a motion to recommend approval?
Move of approval.
Second.
Resolution continuing approval of a three-lot certified survey map being part of Northeast 1 Quarter, Northwest 1 Quarter, Section 15, Township 5, Range 21 East, City of Franklin has been moved and seconded. Discussion of the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion of that motion. Seeing none, all those in favor signify
by saying aye. I haven't had dinner yet, Mayor. Sorry.
I got it. Neither of us. Well, motion passes. All of them pass. I appreciate that thing. Unfortunately, I got it.
I already had to read it.